This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A deadly high school shooting. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, December 1st. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Three students have been killed and eight others were hurt when a 15-year-old opened fire at Oxford High School, north of Detroit.
Four people are dead, including a police officer, after police responded to a domestic violence call in Clayton County, Georgia.
From Washington, the Supreme Court today hears arguments on a Mississippi abortion law that could overturn Roe v. Wade.
And President Biden speaks today about ongoing supply chain problems.
She's going to cite some of the CEOs who met with him this week because they all said that they have full shell. The CEO of Food Lion was there talking about how her shelves are food and her shelves have food and her supply chain is strong and robust. The Walmart CEO said his inventory levels are up about 10%.
Jeff Mordock at the Washington Times on why supply chain issues persist despite White House efforts. Three students have been killed and eight others were injured after a 15-year-old sophomore opened fire at a high school in Michigan. Police have not publicly identified the suspect, who was taken into custody within 3 minutes of law enforcement arriving on scene. The incident occurred at Oxford High School, about 40 miles north of Detroit. Michael Bouchard, the Oakland County Sheriff, says the teen was in possession of a 9mm semi-automatic handgun loaded with 7 rounds when arrested.
With his parents present, he declined to speak, and they have hired an attorney. So there is no conversation that's going on and no cooperation at that level.
A 14, 16, and 17-year-old were killed. Police said the gun used had been purchased by the suspect's father 4 days before the shooting. Mr. Bouchard said police have no indication that the suspect had disciplinary problems at school or previous contact with law enforcement. A Georgia police officer has been killed and another wounded during a response to a domestic violence call in Clayton County. A total of 4 people were killed in last night's incident, including the suspect. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Clayton County police were called last night to a home in Rex outside Atlanta. Authorities say when they arrived, they were met by a 12-year-old boy who had been shot in the face. He led police to a residence where a gunman was located. Police say the suspect fired on the officers with a handgun, then fled to the back of the home where he was confronted by other officers. During an exchange of gunfire, 2 officers were shot, 1 fatally. The suspect was struck and killed. Police later found 2 women dead among multiple victims inside the home. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, by the way, says the slain officer was identified as Field Training Officer Henry Laxon, the 3rd Georgia police officer killed in the line of duty in the past month and the 8th this year. To the nation's capital now, the Biden administration is considering stricter COVID-19 testing requirements for travelers entering the U.S., including U.S. citizens, to slow the spread of the emerging Omicron variant. The CDC said rules being discussed would require all travelers, regardless of vaccination status, to present a negative COVID test within 24 hours of boarding a plane to the U.S. Travelers could also be required to take a second test 3 to 5 days after arriving in the U.S. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
This program allows for increased COVID testing for specific international arrivals, increasing our capacity to identify those with COVID-19 on arrival to the United States, and enhancing our surveillance for the Omicron variant.
Officials are also considering whether or not to accept only PCR tests. Currently, rapid antigen tests, which can be self-administered, are also accepted to enter the U.S. One official said the administration hopes to roll new rules out by next week. Coming up next, all eyes on the Supreme Court today. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. The Supreme Court will hear arguments today over a Mississippi law that bans abortion after 15 weeks. In a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade, the case poses the clearest test yet of the 6-3 conservative court's trajectory. Insight from John Kruzel, Supreme Court reporter at The Hill. John, set this up.
Well, this case has the potential to radically reshape the state of abortion rights in the United States. I mean, it's difficult to overstate the impact of this case. So the facts of this particular case is Mississippi passed a law that bans abortion after 15 weeks. It makes only some minor exceptions. And the reason why that is so significant is because it takes direct aim at what is almost 50 years now of the constitutional right to abortion that was first recognized under Roe v. Wade. That's a 1973 case, and what it said was women have a constitutional right to get an abortion up to the point that the fetus is viable, meaning the fetus could live outside the womb on its own. That typically happens around 23 weeks. So, you know, critics of this Mississippi law will say, well, 15 weeks is shorter than 23 weeks, therefore this is unconstitutional.
Wow. So precedent is a big word, right, when it comes to, or I should say a significant word, when it comes to Supreme Court decisions. Is it not? Like, what kind of role does precedent play here?
That's right. So the United States works in what's called a common law system that's different from a civil law system. And I won't get into the nitty-gritty too much, but basically what that means is that the Supreme Court's tradition is to honor its past decisions under a concept called stare decisis. That's Latin for let it stand, let the decision stand. And what that is meant to do is to maintain stability. It ideally will make people aware of what the law is. You can have some regularity to things. Now, different justices have different views on stare decisis. John Roberts is a good example of a conservative who feels very strongly that past decisions should be given deference. You look at somebody like Justice Clarence Thomas, he has a very different view. He thinks if a case was wrongly decided in the past, then why should we keep affirming it over and over again?
We're speaking with John Kruzel, Supreme Court correspondent at The Hill. His piece is called Supreme Court to Hear Landmark Abortion Case This Week, and it's with regards to the law from Mississippi. So is this, John, the greatest chance since Roe v. Wade passed for it to be overturned, given the makeup of the court?
I think that's fair to say. You know, probably your listeners are wondering, well, isn't there this Texas 6-week abortion ban also kicking around in the Supreme Court? That's true. That would not directly overturn Roe v. Wade, however. That case is deciding a more procedural matter, whether or not the government and private abortion providers can sue in federal court. Okay, so that's the Texas law. This Mississippi law, I mean, is on a direct collision course with Roe v. Wade. And I think abortion opponents certainly feel that the composition of the current court is more favorable than it's been in the past 50 or so years since Roe v. Wade was decided.
So arguments on Wednesday, what's the time frame following that? When might we get a decision on this?
So a Supreme Court term goes from October typically through June. And you know, if past practice is any prelude here, what typically happens is the really big, really contentious cases end up getting decided at the very, very end of the term. So probably late June, maybe early July.
Boy, I guess aside from the basics that, yes, the Mississippi law is fine or no, the Mississippi law is not fine, what else could happen?
Well, one thing that the court could do is alter some of its other precedent. So there's another big case in addition to Roe. This case is called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And what that said is states can regulate abortion prior to viability. Again, this is fetal viability. So states can regulate abortion in the first 23 weeks to some extent, as long as it doesn't place what's called an undue burden on abortion access.
Thanks, John. John Kruzel, Supreme Court reporter at The Hill. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon. A boom in private flying is helping revive business jet sales, but it is also challenging charter operators who are scrambling to meet the holiday travel rush. Doug Cameron, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says after a multi-year slump, flying by private jet is soaring again. Doug, explain.
A year ago, or at least when the pandemic started, you expected private flying to be hit even harder. So much of it is either for business or discretionary, you know, high-end leisure travel. And indeed, it did fall off a cliff. But it came back and has come back much faster than commercial flying, the high-end travel, not for business, mainly for leisure. And the result now is that there's actually, you know, pretty much a shortage of jets.
Goodness. So is this people who are actually buying jets on their own, or are they taking part in these ride-sharing companies in which you can fly on a private jet?
It's a mix of the two. The industry, in terms of new sales, has been in the doldrums for a decade since the last financial crisis, and has kind of bumbled along selling 600-700 a year, the previous peak being something like 1,100. You're now getting back to the levels of flying that you saw in 2007, and because all the used jets, or all the good ones at least, have been kind of snapped up, new buyers have emerged. There's you know, pockets of wealth have emerged with the rising stock market, the SPACs and the IPOs. So there are new buyers out there. They're kind of younger. 25% of new buyers have never previously bought a jet. That's the kind of stats you're getting out of the manufacturers. And yes, as you mentioned, the new breed of on-demand and sharing and jet cards, they're all, you know, buying a lot of jets and doing fairly brisk business.
Jeez. So is the jet market, maybe the private jet market, used and new, kind of similar to the car market these days, and in that the supply is just not there?
Well, certainly the case that the supply is not there. Now, you know, it takes longer to build a jet than it does to build a car. And just to paint a picture for comparison, you know, a couple of years ago, if you ordered a new jet, you could get it in a couple of months. Now you're looking at, you know, the tightest end of the market. You're looking at 9 to 12 months for your shiny new plane.
We're speaking with Doug Cameron, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Private Flying Takes Off, Boosting Demand for Business Jets. How much do these things cost?
Always the key question. So like anything, just with cars, there's a range, and let's go backwards. You know, you're top of the range Gulfstream, and they've just announced a couple of new planes. So your intercontinental jet that seats, you know, 18 people, maybe you can bring some friends along. You're looking at $70 million there, and that might be more if you kit it out more fancily inside. And then it goes all the way down to something like $5, $6, $7 million for something that you can fly domestically with 3 or 4 people within the U.S., for example.
Wow. The first one, did you say 70, 70, or 17, 17 million?
That's a 70.
Oy. So if you're not quite the level of a gajillionaire, then and you're just one of these lonely or lowly rideshare operator customers, how much are you paying a year to have just access to a jet, not necessarily owning one?
Well, as ever, there's a range, and it can be, you know, 50,000, 100,000, 250,000. But that's actually where some of the issues have emerged because of just the sheer busyness of the market. Some of the big operators have actually closed or at least frozen new business because they don't have enough planes to fly new people. You can pay up a tier and maybe not have to wait 90 days, might have to wait 60 days. So, you know, you're still putting a lot of money down, but you are, you know, you're getting a service.
Boy, it sounds like the potential for a lot of lost revenue in this particular industry if you're turning away business, this type of business.
That's exactly Kenny Dichter, who runs and founded Wheels Up, which is one of the big kind of rideshare and fractional owners. They merged their operation with Delta's private jet operation a year or so back. He's talked of hundreds of millions of dollars being spilled because of having to turn away new customers. But, you know, the flip side of that coin is you want to keep the ones you've already got. Probably the biggest question in the business jet, the private jet market is how sustainable this is. You know, do you ramp up production? Do you staff up? Do you keep buying new jets a year from now when, obviously depending on pandemic variants, when, you know, if business travel and international travel commercially picks up, will you at the margin need to take that option of a private jet because perhaps you feel it's safer or more convenient?
Thanks, Doug. Doug Cameron, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better, Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal. to get this special offer for the starter set, Harrys, harrys.com/deal. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. It's Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year with Cyber Monday deals on Windows 11 PCs. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. President Biden has announced several steps, as you know, to address the supply chain crisis dating back to August, but stores are scrambling to keep shelves stocked, and prices are rising, with experts saying the problems could persist for at least another year. The president is expected to make remarks about the issues today. More from Jeff Murdoch, White House reporter at The Washington Times. Jeff, first off, why were remarks about this canceled on Monday?
Met with 10 CEOs of large retailers and large grocers, and then he was going to come out and address the nation and talk about the supply chain issues and what his administration is doing to alleviate that mess. And they abruptly canceled it, I would say, about 10, maybe 15 minutes before he was scheduled to speak. We did not get a lot of information from the White House. They say that the president wanted to spend more time with the CEOs. He really wanted to hear what they had to say, and he didn't want to cut that meeting short, so instead he's going to talk about it on Wednesday. But we still know some of the things that they're going to announce because the administration did put it up on a blog post. They had launched a new supply chain blog that started on Monday.
So before we get into that, you use the phrase a supply chain mess. The White House might push back on that, right? Along with the retailers, have been saying, "Hey, shelves are full. You'll get what you need for Christmas."
Yes, and to illustrate the White House's point, they're pointing to the sales for Black Friday, they're pointing to the sales for Cyber Monday, which certainly was a boost, especially compared to last year when everybody stayed home because of the pandemic. And they're saying, you know, these sales totals wouldn't be what they are if shelves were bare. People went to stores and they found stuff to buy. But at the same time, you do have certain retailers, like, as I point out in my story, Michael Kors, saying that they're not sure that they're going to have, that their supply chain is running thin. They're not sure that the stores are going to be filled with their product line this holiday season, that it could be real touch and go.
So what can we expect?
Well, I think what we'll expect is, I think he's going to come out and I think he's going to talk about what the supply chain has. He's going to talk about that, what he's done has worked. And what he's going to do is he's going to cite some of the CEOs who met with him this week, because they all said that they have full shelves. The CEO of Food Lion was there talking about how her shelves are food, and her shelves have food, and her supply chain is strong and robust. The Walmart CEO said his inventory levels are up about 10%. So he's going to highlight that. And then he is going to get into some of the things that, some of his latest initiatives to help move the production in. And some of those things, as I said, they were announced on the White House blog. So they're going to, they've convinced port operators to waive fees for night and weekend pickups. They got another company that operates ports to discount its night and weekend shipping rates. Also, the Department of Transportation is going to give truck driver operators more flexibility on hours, so we can have truck drivers working longer, working more hours to try to get products to stores.
We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, White House correspondent at The Washington Times. We're talking about these persistent supply chain problems. Will these efforts make an impact?
You know, I talked to a supply chain expert, and he pointed out that there's not much a president can do, and any president, whether it's Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, it's influenced by so many things and so many things that are going on in so many different countries. It's very hard for a president to do much that's really going to impact the global supply chain. You know, what President Biden's doing, I think it will help in the long run. I think it will help in the margins. But we're probably not going to see the benefits, if we do see benefits from what he's doing, until at least next year. And even the United Nations raised the specter that this could go on until 2023.
So Democrats are preparing to take the blame for this, right? Certainly the president is. He's trying to look like he's doing something.
That's right. He's trying to strike the right tone. He's trying to strike the tone that he cares. He's trying to strike the tone that his administration is active and working on it. But as I said earlier, there is very little a president can do. For example, with the Omicron variant starting to spread, if that hits Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Malaysia, where we get a lot of our products, that's going to really devastate the supply chain. And there really isn't much any U.S. president could do to keep that virus from spreading in these Southeastern Asian countries. So that's just one example of what a president faces when they do try to untangle the supply chain chaos.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, White House reporter at The Washington Times. Coming up next, a strange theft in Louisiana.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we have a couple of weird robberies to talk about this morning. We start in Louisiana, where a store is pleading for the return of an oversized gummy bear statue that vanished from in front of a business. Giggles, a children's store in Baton Rouge, said in a Facebook post that its giant gummy bear mascot named Willow vanished recently from its place in front of the store. The store said that Willow had been an icon at the store since it first opened, and that the theft is disheartening to them and their customers. They're now looking for information as to Willow's whereabouts, no questions asked.
just bring it back.
Yeah.
We won't cause you any problems or bring legal complaints against you.
Right.
Yeah.
Just bring it back.
Just bring it back.
I saw a picture of this thing. It's very large.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying, maybe three and a half feet high at least.
I was going to say even taller. Yeah.
Yeah. And made of metal, it appears. Just by looking at it, it kind of looked like it was made of metal.
Yeah. Probably hollow.
Right. Hollow. Yeah. Sure. But still cumbersome.
Yeah.
And something that, somebody or a camera somewhere should have seen, right? There should be some camera someplace that picked up somebody taking this.
Yeah, or perhaps at least two people lifting up this object and placing it in the back of a pickup truck.
Right, right. And then what does one do with it to not get caught having it, right, in this town where this mascot is kind of a famous thing?
Yeah, can't really put it online and sell it.
Right,
you can't really display it in your home. Somebody's going to give you up.
Yeah.
It's just very puzzling.
Yeah, yeah.
As you said, a weird one. A weird one.
And another weird one. We know that parents know that Legos are an expensive hobby for your kids to get into. So while unusual, this robbery almost makes a little bit of sense. German police are looking for witnesses after burglars broke through the wall of a store to steal dozens of Lego sets. Police said the theft took place over the weekend and burglars left about 100 empty cardboard boxes behind. It wasn't immediately clear whether the burglars had taken the instruction books that go along with the sets.
So they left the boxes.
Yeah, left the boxes. So it took a lot of time to do this. That's another thing. How could nobody see this or catch this on camera? 100 different boxes they would have had to open, empty the contents into bags or whatever they took them out in, and then just leave the boxes behind. Why not just take the boxes?
I would think it would be easier to carry if you had the boxes to support you.
Yeah, I guess maybe you could take more. Maybe you only have one or two people. You could take more if you took them out of the boxes, they weren't so cumbersome, right? Because the bags inside the boxes, having two kids who are Lego nuts myself.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Having the bags inside the boxes sometimes don't take up a lot of space. There's a lot of air space in there, to make the sets look a little bigger than they actually are. So maybe it would have been easier for these people to carry and maybe just stuff them into bags if they didn't have to deal with the boxes.
I know that your kids are Lego junkies. Have you been approached by German authorities? Like, what were your whereabouts this weekend, Mike?
Yeah, no, this is unusual. But to a father like myself of two Lego junkies, this does make some amount of sense. The percentage of my salary that goes towards Legos every year is you'd blush if I told you.
I do remember that phase. Coming up next, migraine headaches. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Cyber Monday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Watching for holiday stress potentially triggering a migraine this time of year, and don't dismiss them. They could be migraines that require treatment. Dr. Christopher Gottschalk, director of headache medicine at Yale, tells USA Today, a migraine is one of the most commonly misunderstood, misdiagnosed, and mistreated disorders on the planet. A migraine is defined as at least 5 headache attacks lasting 4 to 72 hours. They can cause severe throbbing pain or a pulsing sensation, usually on one side of the head, and are often accompanied by nausea, vomiting, or sensitivity to light and sound. Migraines most commonly occur in women ages 25 to 55. Fluctuations in estrogen before or during menstrual periods, pregnancy, or menopause may trigger headaches. Other triggers, a change in sleep, missing a meal, medication, stress, or even underlying depression. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A Clayton County, Georgia police officer has been killed and another wounded in an incident that authorities say left a total of 4 people dead, including the suspect. The slain officer was identified as Henry Laxon. Police were called last night to a home in Rex in response to calls about gunfire and domestic violence. When police arrived, they were fired on by the suspect. 2 officers were shot, 1 suffering fatal wounds. Police later found 2 women dead among multiple victims inside the home.
Number 2.
3 people were killed and 8 others were injured in a shooting at Oxford High School in Michigan. The suspect, a 15-year-old boy, is in custody. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard.
We have tragically lost 3 students. A 16-year-old male, he died in the patrol car on the way to the hospital. 14-year-old female, and a 17-year-old female.
The 8 wounded, including a teacher, were taken to hospitals for various injuries. Authorities did not say what led to the shooting.
Number 3.
Wall Street took a dive after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the central bank may withdraw support for the economy at an even faster pace, adding that inflation is likely to persist well into next year.
Pandemic-related supply and demand imbalances have contributed to notable price increases in some areas. Supply chain problems have made it difficult for producers to meet strong demand, particularly for goods.
The Dow Industrials tumbled 652. Former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has agreed to cooperate in at least a limited way in the House Select Committee's investigation of the January 6th Capitol riot, which will include giving testimony. Under the agreement, Meadows' lawyer says his client will give voluntary responses on topics that he does not believe are covered by executive privilege. Former President Trump has cited executive privilege as the grounds for denying the release of a wide array of information sought by the panel. The most expensive city in the world to live in is now Tel Aviv. The Economist Intelligence Unit says the Israeli city tops its worldwide cost of living index for the first time ever, climbing up from 5th place last year, mainly because its currency, the shekel, has soared. Paris is the second most expensive city, followed by Singapore. New York is 6th. L.A. is 9th.
Wow. Never thought that New York and L.A. would be relative bargains.
Yes.
On the world scale.
Yep.
Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, when texting the wrong number works in your favor. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for joining us. Michigan High School basketball team's wrong number mistake in a group text led the team to getting an unexpected video chat session with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. UPI says a player for the Notre Dame Prep High School said he was in charge of adding numbers to the team's group and made a mistake while putting in one of the numbers. They got a message from the owner of the wrong number who wrote, "Y'all meant to add me to this? You know who I am?" The number belonged to Sean Murphy Bunting, cornerback for the Bucks. He even sent a selfie, but the kids were skeptical. Their skepticism was laid to rest moments later when Murphy Bunting initiated a FaceTime call from the Bucks locker room. A tour was led by Leonard Fournette and joined by Mike Evans, Gronk, Richard Sherman. A few minutes later, Tom Brady entered the locker room and chatted with the students. The basketball team said they're grateful for the kind gesture from the Buccaneers players. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.